The Marilyn Show. The hot pink Marilyn Show. So I greet the Bobs with the ultimate Marilyn, the ultimate goddess. This show is about ultimate sex, ultimate beauty, the woman child, the goddess of love. Love me and I'll love you back. Hot pink boa, hot pink sequin bustier with cleavage overflowing. As soon as you greet them at the door, you gotta just present cleavage when it comes to Marilyn. Of course, I have the perfect Marilyn wig, pink skirt, and as soon as they come in the door, I have this grating on the floor, just like the subway, you know, with that, when she did the 7-year itch and that scene that they did where they staged it and she was standing there in that white dress and the wind blew up and her skirt blows up. We do the same effect here. And Marilyn's dance is the dance, the tarantella, dance of ecstasy, passion, and ultimately death. So part of what happens in the progression from famous movie star and icon and starlet, you know, and the dazzling beauty and the costume, and then I slowly disrobe all that to expose the sadness and the ache and the pain that she lived, that's just so pervasive in all of Marilyn. You know, that look of loneliness and despair underneath the glamour. So I slowly strip away, but I take the boa and I dance with it over to this bathtub. So on the platform where I have the coffin and the go-go cell, I have this beautiful bathtub with bubbles. There's bubbles pouring out of it. And I take off all of my clothes. Fabulous white lingerie. And I take off my shoes last. And I melt into this land of bubbles with this hot pink boa surrounding me. It's like this halo around her. And then slowly the candles, they start to go out. And then by the time the last candle's out, the show's over.
You know what happened to the original signers of the Declaration of Independence? You think those guys had it easy? No way. I mean, 5 were captured by the Redcoats and tortured. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. There was this one guy, his name was John Hart. He was driven from his wife's deathbed. Then his grist mill was burned down. His fields were destroyed. He spent more than a year living out in the forest and the caves, eating bugs and acorns and whatnot, mushrooms and shit. Then he comes home, finds his wife dead, and his 13 children, you know, vanished. You want to know about the price of freedom, you got to talk to somebody like that, okay? You think those fat boys out on their lawnmowers, you think they know anything about the price of freedom? Then comes a souped-up Honda Civic. Looks like a Mexican girl. Where's she going in such a hurry? Una chica guapa. I like Mexicans. Oh, they understand about keeping a low profile. And they have the deep warrior culture, you know, back in the days of the Gold Kings and whatnot. They played a game that was sort of like basketball, but instead of a ball, they used a human head. Well, I don't go for that exactly, but I respect it. I do know the world would be a lot better off if the Mexicans had held on to Texas. Don't get me wrong, I love this country. Hell, I consider myself a hardcore patriot. But America today, I mean, you put a stupid fat person in a big enough tank and they'll win for a while, till the gas runs out. Then that stupid fat person's gonna be put on a spit and roasted by the lean ones, the hungry ones. And I suspect that day might be closer than most people think. But that's not up to me. All I gotta do is keep my eye on the road until the time when the whisper comes. It's God's whisper, and when it comes, I'll do my duty. I won't know why, but he will. And that's good enough for me.
They have done so. We shall all do so. And that's one of the consolations, I must say. I don't see that as an embitterment. You are, for a time, the voice of your time. You grow up like grass. You produce, oh, not like a grass, but whatever, like a flower. You come to bud. You open up. You close up. Somebody comes along with a sickle or a big lawnmower. Some rider with a big gut on his lawnmower. You know, just whirling around, cutting everything down. Well, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Too many large people on big caterpillars driving around. But we all go, and the thing that remains, and now put this, scrawl this on your wrist cuff there, scrawl it, inject yourself along your veins somewhere, get it tattooed. The voice remains. It's like those people in times past. They cut off the head like Apollo. Apollo, is the singer, the other guy, and his head was cut off. They put it in the river. It went down the river, and it floated down to the island of Lesbos, and they took it there, and for years, that voice, that head, just a head, would speak, talk to people, give them advice, tell them what to do. Well, that's it, you see. That's what the poet does. Whole thing dies off, but there's that voice. You go on hearing the voice. If you know where to listen, if you know where, if you cock your ear, you can hear that voice.
Lonely drifters, dark strangers, luscious friends of the long night, around me a vast network of abandoned minds. And inside those minds, abandoned dreams. And inside those dreams, the spirits of the vanquished gather. And they dance the ghost dance. And they call out to the great warrior who will come and end this agony. With a rifle on a stallion or a death ray in a spaceship. Or more likely by a trillion small and painful wounds. Invisible but true, each one yielding a single drop of blood. And if you look into their eyes, the ghost dancers, you can see the future free and clear, and you can see that the wolves shall run again in the deserts of Nevada and eat the abundant carrion, the big spoils from the big dump in the big time that will follow the brief catastrophe. And you can hear it all right here on WDOA in the United States of America. So come fly with me, for I am the hungry raven, over and over and over and out.
It's the loneliest road.
America has all.